And good morning, church. Yeah, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. Happy Father's Day. Love it, love it, love it. So we are in a series called How to Be Average. Now, if you missed last week, you missed the explanation of that. And so I'm going to give you a quick explanation because nobody wants to be average in life. I mean, no one set out in their life to go, man, I'm just going to be average. No, you've been told and you've been trained, and somebody along the way said that, you know, you're supposed to be amazing and awesome. And so let me just give you a quick explanation of why we're learning how to be average. In the story of the parables, there was a master, and he distributed some of his funds to his servants, and he distributed it by 5 talents, by 2 talents, and by 1 talent. So there were 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Talents equal to sum of money for his servants to steward. He gave out the different amounts of money, and the Bible says based on their ability is how much money they received to be able to steward. And so there were 5 talent abilities, 2 talent abilities, and 1 talent ability. And so we determined that in a general sense, we're all 2-talent people, because the 5-talent people are the, you know, the NFL pros. They're Jordan Spieth playing golf. They're winning NBA championships, and they're playing in the New York Symphony. And none of us have been invited to those things. And so those are 5-talent people. And so we're not saying that we're less than in terms of our, you know, our value. It's just the reality is that some people have more talent than us. And I'm good with that. So what I want to do is to learn how, as an average person, how do I live above average dreams? How do I go after above average, you know, purposes? And you know, I want to think above average, even if I'm average. And so you're average. Hello, average. Welcome to, you're just average. We're, you know, honestly, you know, we could just say it's an average church, but we don't have average dreams. We have above average dreams. So today I want to take the second part of this series. And you're probably not going to understand this title any more than you understood it last week. But I want to teach you today is how to have an average day. That makes no sense. I mean, no one ever, have you ever looked at someone and said, man, I hope you have an average day? No, I mean, we always say, you know, hope you have a great day. I mean, we're always shooting for great days, you know. I always wake up every day and I try to think to myself, today is a great day to have a great day. And so, you know, why would I want to teach us about how to have an average day? Look at somebody beside you and just go ahead and say to them, I hope you have an average day. It just sounds weird to say it, doesn't it? It just doesn't make sense to say, I hope you have an average day. Let me tell you what's not going to be average, though. Let me just tell you right now what is not going to be average. Summer Jam kicks off tomorrow. It is not going to be average, all right? It's going to be way above average. And I think we ought to just pray for Summer Jam right now because it's kicking off tomorrow. We have somewhere around 230 to 250 kids signed up for Summer Jam. I'm believing that we're going to have another 50 show up, and I'm hoping that we cross the 300 mark. That's what I'm just hoping for. So let's just pray for Summer Jam, that these kids' lives will be changed and our volunteers will, you know, experience the joy of serving with these kids. And so, Father, we pray right now for Summer Jam. Lord, I pray that it would be way above average in every aspect, God. We pray for 300 students, our kids to come, God. We pray for all our volunteers, Lord, that they would sense the joy of serving them. And Lord, we pray for young people to be saved. We pray that they would have a new sense of how much you love them, God, as they come out of this. And so God, use this as more than a child care week, but use it as a way that you encounter their life for great things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to take you to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. I'm going to teach out of a story that for some of you is probably familiar. And it's a story about Joshua and the Israelites and Jericho, and how they marched around Jericho, and how they shouted and the walls came down, and the Israelites conquered a town. And so for some of you it's familiar, but I think I have a unique slant that I'm going to share with you today. So we're going to read 16 verses, and so you're going to have to hang with me just a little bit. 16 verses, so if you have, you know, tendencies of ADD, you know, just stay with me. We're going to work through it together. All right, Joshua chapter 6 says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and fighting men.' And then he said to them, 'March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in.' So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the army, he said, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the Ark of the Lord.' When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army. He said, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice.' He said, 'Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and they spent the night there. And Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests carried the 7 trumpets, went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. And the armed men, they went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once, and then they returned to camp. And they did this for 6 days. And on the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. And the 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army. He said, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you this city. Shout, for the Lord has given you this city.'" You know, it's Father's Day. We ought to give a shout out to our fathers. You want to just do that? Let's give a shout out, fathers. Woo! Come on. Shout out. Hey, while we're on fathers, let me just say a couple things to dads real quick. I heard a saying by Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole one time. He was an amazing leader of a men's ministry. But he said, being a male is a matter of birth, but being a man was a matter of choice. In the same vein, it has been said that having a child is a matter of procreation, but being a father is a matter of choice. Harriet and I have 2 great kids, Eli and Bailey. Eli's 23, Bailey's 20. I was thinking that, you know, if you kind of put that together, that means we have 43 years of parenting experience, which is pretty awesome. Because children are different, so you don't have all experience on one because they're different. And so 43 years of parenting experience, that doesn't make us great, but we've stuck it out. We've been there day in, day out, and I'm thankful for that. Honestly, I'm not as impressed today with parents who have the biggest birthday parties as I am with the parents who have been steadily, patiently, and intentionally parenting their children. Parenting doesn't happen at the parties. Parenting happens in the everyday life. Parenting happens on the way to school and back from school. Parenting happens at the dinner tables and dinner, and I mean, parenting happens in all the everyday things. I'll put it this way. I like to think of it like this. Memories are made in a moment. Memories are important. Big birthday parties, they're fun, they're important, they create memories. Going on a vacation, maybe an occasional trip to Disney World, they create memories, and memories are important, but memories are just the moments of highlight reels of our life. But families are built in the everyday, average heart of life. That's where families are built. And that's why we need to learn how to have an average day. You see, when you think of like, if you were to go hiking on a mountain, we grew up in the mountains, and occasionally we'd go hiking, and the higher you get on the mountain, the less plant life is up there. You get to the top of a mountain, and it's actually kind of bare. Nothing grows at the top very well, and all the growth happens in the valleys. And so it's the low parts of life, it's the average parts of life where all growth happens. And so what I want to do is to encourage all of you today that it's okay to have an average day. Because it's in the average days that God does a lot of work in our life. It's in the average days is when we build a life, we build a family. It's in those average days. And so I want to encourage you moms today. I want moms to be encouraged. I want all of you to be encouraged that you don't have to like have a party every single day for your children in order for them to grow up healthy. It's the average everyday part of where you're just investing in their life that makes for a great family life. I want to encourage you dads today, fathers. You don't even have to be a five-talent father to be a great father. Great fathers are made on the average days. Great fathers get up and go to work every day and come home, and they're present with their kids in the evenings. They're present. They're there. Great fathers aren't made out of the five-talent experiences. They're made out of all the average days where you're just part of their life and you're part of their school, you're part of their athletics, you're just part of their life and you're investing in them every day. That's what makes a great father. It's the everyday average life. And so that's why I want to talk to us today about the significance of the average days, because I don't want us to miss them. I don't want us to run by all of the average days trying to have a highlight reel every day. So in the text we were talking about Joshua chapter 6, we were talking about the Israelites. And so let me give you a little context of the Israelites as they were heading into Jericho. So what we have are a nation that was formed by Abraham. These were God's people. And so God had formed a people that he wanted to bless them, so through them they could be a blessing, and people would see how good God is as they looked at the Israelites. The Israelites fell off track, and they had their issues, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years on their way to what God had promised Abraham and his people, which is the promised land. It's in Canaan. I do believe that the Israelites have a legitimate claim to a promised land, to a territory that belongs to them by God that has given to them. But we also recognize promised land as a symbolic way for you and I today that we have a promise from God, and that we're on a journey to succeed in what God has for us in our life. And we read the story of the journey of the Israelites on the promised land and them taking possession of the land, believing that God leads us on our course and we take possession of our promises as well. But what happened was on this journey is at the end of 40 years, their leader Moses had died, and now Joshua was now their new leader. And Joshua was to take them in to this promised land. And so they approached the Jordan River, and they crossed the Jordan River. God did a miracle. He dammed up the Jordan River upriver. And so the people walked across on dry land. When they crossed the land, they came and they encountered towns that had to be conquered. And God wanted them to remove all of the non-God-fearing people out of Canaan. He did not want there to be an intermingling of people that loved God and those that did not love God. And so God had to drive out all the people that did not love him and were not God-fearing people. And so the first thing they did is they came to a town, and the first town they approached was Jericho. And it was a town of Canaanites that did not serve God. And so God had commanded them, you have got to remove this city out of the promised land. And so when they got there, they approached this town. Now, I don't know what your image is of Jericho. I've always had this image of this ginormous city with ginormous walls. That's not the case. Jericho was actually a town that was on 9 acres. Like, that's half the size of the property that we bought for our church. 9 acres. Only 1,200 people lived in 9 acres. It was a small town. Now, it had high walls, and it was a very safe city for them to live in, But if you compare to the Israelites that were marching up, Israelites numbered over 1 million people, and they had 600,000 armed men. So just picture this. You're a small town, 1,200 total population. Maybe half of them are warriors. You have 600 people that are getting ready to fight 600,000 people. Like, it's a way outnumbered deal. Like, if you're part of the Israelite army and you're Joshua and you're marching up and you've got 600,000 people getting ready to take on 600 people, you're pretty confident you're going to win this war. You're like, we got this one. But Joshua looked to God and said, how do you want to do this? What's your plan, God? And so God gave him a plan. It was an unusual plan. They were to circle this city 6 times. They were to march with the ark and the priest, and they were to go around it for 6 days, not saying a word. And on the 7th day, they were going to circle it 7 times and shout. Then the walls would come down, they'd go conquer it. There were so many armed men for the Israelites that the research says that not all of the armed men got to march around the city. That a select few did. I mean, 600,000 people couldn't get all side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and make it around a 9-acre tract of land. There were just too many of them. And so what happened was is there was like an audience of the soldiers, and they circled and they surrounded the city while the priest marched around with a large group, maybe like 10,000 army people marched around. And so they marched around each day while the others stood at attention, watching and waiting for day 7. I think this was the beginning of NASCAR. Think about it. All left turns. There's a crowd around them. And on the final lap, everyone cheers. And there's a winner. And so, I mean, it's NASCAR. That's where it was born. So right there. But this is how it was set up. And so they began their march. And so as I was reading this and I was thinking, Lord, why 600,000 people versus 600? Why did you have them march around in quiet when they could have conquered this thing in a day? 600,000 people, they could have just stormed that thing and beat down the walls. And I mean, I think they could have knocked her out in a day. Why, God, did you delay and have them march for 6 days before they had the victory? Because I just think that's kind of an unusual way to do it. And so there's several reasons it could be. I mean, God could have wanted to teach us obedience to his ways. That would be a great message today. I could teach you that God has unusual ways of accomplishing things and we have to follow him. It seems obvious sometimes we should do it this way, but God says do it this way. And so we need to learn to follow him. That would be a great message. Some of you may need that today. It may be that when our expectations are different than what we see, we need to understand that God's still at work behind the scenes. I mean, these people marched around the city for 6 days. I'm thinking if I was marching around, I would probably think, well, while we're marching, we're probably going to see some activity. The people inside are at least going to wave a white flag and give up and surrender. But nothing happened. And so they probably just had to learn to just be patient as they went. I've heard Pastor Stephen Furtick preach on this, and he said that you don't stop on day 6. You don't want to quit. So maybe that's a message for you today, that you know you don't quit. You don't know when your day 7 is going to come, and so you keep marching until your day comes. But I don't think that's what God wanted for me to teach today. Today I want to teach you this, and I feel like God said to me as I asked him why, and I feel like God said the reason they marched for 6 days and then the 7th day was a celebration is that he wants us to teach in this series of having average life or average days that every day is not a day of shouting and celebration. That most of your days are just normal and average, and we just have to learn how to have an average day where we just circle the day and we come home. And we learn to circle the day and come home. And we put so much pressure that make every day an amazing day when some days are just average good days. Joshua, in the book of Joshua 6, it says that in a snippet back into the section of text, it says on the 2nd day they marched around the city once and they returned to the camp. And then it says they did this for 6 days. So the scripture talks about day one, it talks about day two, and it talks about day seven. Like day three, four, five, and six were so average and so normal that the author didn't even write them in. It was like they just did the same thing. They just walked in a circle and sat down. They just walked, went home. Walked day two, they walked, they went home. Day three, they walked in a circle, came home. You ever feel like your life is that way? You just, boom. You walk in a circle and come home. You walk in a circle and come home. And sometimes when we think of it like that, we kind of get depressed. We're like, man, my life's not very exciting. I just walk in a circle and come home. I go to work, come home. I drop off the kids and come home. And you feel that way. And we can tend to miss the significance of the average days. Our culture has forgotten that average days are still important and significant. And I want to show you in three different ways how to have an average day. And number one is we must master the mundane. We must master the mundane. Most people celebrate the weekends and moan about Mondays. How many times have you put on Instagram, oh, it's Monday again? I dread Mondays. Oh, then it's hump day. We're about to get through this awful week. Hump day, I can't wait to get to the weekend. And you know, we moan all the time about the weekdays. And here's what's so sad about it is you only get a weekend twice, but you get five other days. And so we're so unbalanced that we find our life kind of painful and just kind of nagging at us. And we're just maybe like not enjoying it because all we do is think about the big day. We're thinking about day seven. When do we get to, you know, shout, God? When do we get to have the big day, God? Joshua, what did he do? He commanded his men to say nothing for 6 days. He's like, hey, when we're walking, y'all got to zip it. Let me tell you why. Because about day three, they would have said, why are we doing this? This feels like Monday. How come we have to walk in circles? This is not very fun. All we're doing is just getting dirty and walking around and coming home. Their mouth would have spoke what they were thinking, and what they were thinking would have become what they speak out, and it becomes your pattern of life. It becomes your mentality. And he didn't want them to have a bad day on an average day. And so if he could keep their mouth quiet, at least they wouldn't declare it as so. And so he told them to keep their mouth quiet so that they could maintain a place of peace in their life. And so what if, like, though, instead of like speaking negatively about Monday through Friday, what if we made our average days really joyful days? What if we changed our mentality and said, you know what? Average days ought to be good days. They don't have to be bummer days. They don't have to be the depressing days. What if we got up each day with a passion for this average day? What if we said, you know what? Today, I'm going to march in that circle, and I'm going to hold my shoulders back, and I'm going to kick up the dirt, and I'm going to come home, and I'm going to love that. Listen, that is the story of my life right there. When we planted the church, I would go door to door knocking on doors to invite people to church. I did it for 30 hours a week, week in, week out, for like 4 months. I would go in the evenings and knock on doors. Well, when you knock on doors, you get interesting responses. 1 out of 10 would say, tell me what you're doing. 5 out of 10 just slam the door. A couple of them say things you shouldn't hear. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. But I wanted people, listen, I had a passion for what was ahead. But I turned those average days, and I jumped out of bed every day. I'm not kidding you. I loved those days. They were the hardest, most monotonous, it didn't look like anything was happening days. I mean, we hadn't even had a church service yet. And I'm out there greeting people. I want to say that we can make average days great days based on how we view them and what we put into them. People who live above average lives have learned to master the mundane parts of life. They live each day with this passion in their heart, and they say, I'm going to live what I have to the best of my abilities. Let me tell you, folks, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. Let me say it again. You got to think that through. Success is not the key to happiness. Like, when you get the promise, when you get the victory, when you get the raise, we always live that when this happens, when my kids get a little older, when they finally graduate, when they finally this, or when I finally get this car that I want, when I finally get this job, then I'll be happy. Let me tell you, you're going to be unhappy all your life because there's always something more that's out in front of you. And so if you can't learn to be happy in the journey, you're never going to be happy. Happiness is in the journey, and that's what makes you successful. Here's what I like, is happiness, it doesn't come from genetics, luck, or chance. Everybody can be happy. It's not even based on your circumstances. Happiness is knowing God and enjoying the blessings that he brings into your life. I love what Psalms 118 says. Let's just say this one together. So this is Psalms 118. 1, 2, 3. This is the day the Lord has made. Pause, because you got to put some power behind this next part. Because this is like not just a suggestion. I'm tricking you, Arna. I love it. This is like I'm telling myself. Like I have to convince myself because it's hump day and I don't feel so good. And I'm like, man, I wished it was the weekend. So that's when you got to say, and everybody, instead of saying wait, we, say I, all right? I want you to say I. So ready? 1, 2, 3. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You make a choice. That's how you make that average day a much better day. It's by a decision you make that day. Amen? Number two, how to have an average day. We advance in the average days. You know, you may not quickly see progress in a day-to-day situation because progress can be measured in inches instead of miles at times. And inches don't seem to add up in the moments. But if you stick with it over time, it becomes a way of advancing your life. Joshua said when he ordered the army, he said, advance. And how did he tell them to advance? He said, I want you to march in a circle and then go back home. He's like, that's how we're going to advance today. He said, you're going to do something routine. You're going to do something ordinary. You're going to do something simple. You're going to do something small. You're just going to do it over and over, and God's going to use that to advance your life. See, it's in the average days when we grow and build our lives and our families. It's the average days. You don't build your family on just the big weekend experience. You don't build your family and you don't build your life on the shouting seventh day. You build your life on day 1 through 6, and then God leads you to a point of shouting. Above average people know that small and average things can lead to future success. Let me give you a few examples. These are just like some examples how small things can lead to some success in your life. As an example, if you don't go to Starbucks twice a week and you take that $3 or $4 and you put it in the bank, at the end of the year, you'd have over $400 saved up. Like, that's real simple. But that's just, it's like the average days is where you make ground. The people that live above average know these kind of things. They're like, I know how to gain ground in the average days. 30 minutes of exercise can lower your risk of diseases and even help you manage your weight. And like 30 minutes, like just 30 minutes. You could get up in the morning and walk around your neighborhood and you could take 30 minutes. And that would, like, a routine of that would help change your life. 30 minutes. You could stop eating junk food at night, Tim. It's the simple things that make a difference. The simple things. You could read an inspiring book for 15 minutes instead of watching your favorite Netflix show for 3 hours. I mean, it's little things, but see, these are the routines of the week. It's just if you learn to put normal average things to work in your life, then it will advance your life. Spending time with God for 15 minutes in the morning will increase your faith and build your spiritual life. You may think, well, 15 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but if you add those all together every day, God starts to use that in a powerful way in your life. It's just those average small things. You go to church once a week. You're like, well, I don't think I really got anything out of the day. Well, that's okay, because God used it just to build in your life a little bit, and it moved you forward. You know what? Let me say it this way. Going to church is never going to move you backwards. It may not move you forward a lot, but at least it's not going to move you backwards. So you're always gaining by coming. Amen. Hey, you can remember to tell your wife or your husband that you love them every day. Like, you know, I'll give an example. You know, we're talking about day 1 through 6 versus day 7. If the only day you tell your husband or wife you love them is on, you know, Valentine's, the 7th, you know, shouting day, if that's the only time, you miss all the other days, I'm telling you, your marriage is not going to be real strong. But if you, every day, you sow and you invest into your spouse, just little by little, God uses that to improve and advance your life. I even read the other day, like, this is my favorite, but kissing your spouse on the lips at least once a day can improve your relationship immensely. And I heard if you did it in front of your kids, it's even more fun because they're embarrassed. There are so many great ways to embarrass your kids and to advance your life. Amen. There are so many things. But here's this whole thing about this whole thing, because the average days are seem routine and circle back. And we can choose to do some simple things that will advance our life. They're not even hard to do. The problem is they're also easy not to do. It's so easy to not go for a walk tomorrow morning. It's so easy to not pick up the book for 15 minutes and watch Netflix. It's so easy to skip kissing your spouse because we're in a hurry that morning. See, it's just so easy. But the average people that learn to act like above average people will find that the everyday average part of life becomes the place where they advance and God does great things through it. Slow progress is still progress. Average days are not wasted if you use them to advance your life. Number 3, we don't attempt to make day 3 to be like day 7. You want to have an average day. How to have an average day? We don't attempt to make day 3 to be like day 7. In our story, day 7 was the day that they shouted and the walls came down and they rushed to battle and the victory and days 1 through 6 were all the average days. Day 7 was this, you know, hype day. And one of the pressures we have in our culture today is we fall into this pattern of trying to make every day be like a day 7. Every day has to be special. Every day has to be a highlight reel. Every day has to be amazing. And we get into this pattern of trying to make this day so big that we miss the average, ordinary parts of life that God is using to just bless us. Every day doesn't have to be a big day to be a good day. Parents, you don't have to give your children a gift every day or ice cream every day or to create a party every day to be a good parent. That's not what makes you a good parent. It's the investing in their life and being there day in, day out is what makes you a good parent. I want to encourage you to have a healthy balance between day 1 and 6, but especially compared to day 7. We need big celebration parties, but it doesn't have to be every day. I remember when I was growing up, and we had days that, of course, this was before, you know, video games entertained us, and we only had a couple channels where we lived. We couldn't pick up any TV at all. And I can remember many days that we just didn't have anything particular to do. And I would say to my mom, I'm kind of bored today. She said, then I'll give you some chores. And we found how to not be bored on those average days. And I want to say to your parents that you don't have to create a hype day every day, but you can allow your kids to get creative and figure out how to make their average day a good day as well. Is that okay? Everybody good? All right, awesome. Day 3 helps us appreciate day 7. So it's okay to have some average days. Because if all your days are day sevens, when you actually have a real day seven, then you don't even know you had a day seven. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment, that's the key to having an average day. It's going, you know what? I'm good with this. I gave it my best. I advanced in my life. I invested in my kids, and we did the normal things. I went to work. I got my exercise in. I had a good day. I'm content there. I can settle there. I can go to bed there. I don't have to be panicked that I didn't have the Instagram moment today. And you know, it's okay to not even post on Instagram some days. And just kind of disappear and just do normal life. Average days are not bad days. Sometimes after church on Sunday, Harriet and I will be on our way to McAllister's, and we'll say, well, what'd you think of church today? You know, what, we have a quick evaluation time, you know, and sometimes we'll say, man, today was a home run. Like, it was amazing. Attendance was higher than expected. We sang louder than I expected, and there was anointing in the preaching, and people got saved, and like, it's like a home run day, and you know, we're like, yeah. Some days we go, you know, it's kind of like a single today. You know, just, it was a single. The attendance was kind of flat. You know, the worship, they did such a great job, but people, we just weren't into it as much. And, you know, my preaching maybe stumbled a few times, and, you know, and but you know, it was a single. And here's what I've come to conclusion is singles are still good days. We still advance because I never want to build a church on hype. Like, if every day has to be a home run day for us to come and enjoy it, then we're going to miss all the days that God just wanted to do some faithfulness in our life. God just wanted to say, I just want to teach you to serve today. God said, I just wanted you to meet somebody today. I just wanted you to build a new friendship today. I just wanted you to speak into somebody's life. It wasn't real exciting. It was just a good circle around the church lap and you went home. And God said, that's a good day. Because I don't want to build a church to where I have to have donut day every day to get you to come. All right? We're not going to give away gifts next week. All right? So we want to build a church that are based on we worship God. Why? Just because he's worthy. Are we going to have a special song? Maybe not. But he's worthy of worship. Are we going to pray for each other? Yes, absolutely. Is the sermon going to be great? I don't know. I'm going to give you my best, but some days, I mean, you know, I mean, you just, some days you're just there. Some days you're there, and you just got to learn to roll with it. Because average days are good days if you advance the ball, if you move forward. Thank you, Jody. The Bible said, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. There are day sevens, and I love this. This is my favorite part. You just thought I like to be rowdy at church and make you shout a lot. It's biblical. Like when I say, everybody get loud, you know, say, you know, Jesus really loud. Like I'm pulling it right here. So you need to know that I'm like right in line with what God wants for you. Shout, it says. Shout, it says. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. You see, shouting is praise with faith that releases God's promise in your life. Like when you shout the name of Jesus, and you shout what it is that you're determining, this is what God's going to do. When they circled the thing 6 days, they'd had their average days, but thank God we do get a seventh day. And there's a day of shouting for each of you. And so we need to learn to shout for our in faith for our city. So we say, shout it out for God, and we shout. Let's just try it. Everybody say Jesus. We're like, shout it out. Jesus! So we got to learn to shout for our children at Summer Jam. And we, in faith, we believe God's going to do something. We shout for our new raise and our new job. We shout for breakthrough. We shout for healing. We shout for whatever it is God has promised for you in your life. And we shout it out. We shout. Amen? But you don't get to shout if you don't have day 1 through 6. You got to learn to be average and have an average day because God does great things in those days. Amen? Would you stand up? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that the average days are what build our life. It's the average days that you put us in a routine that advances us. But in the average days, God, we choose today that this is the day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And so, God, I pray for our church today that we would live our average days with excellence, with passion, with joy, and contentment, and all those things that make an average day a great day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give me an above average clap for God's word today? Thank you. Awesome.